Time for another Four Masterclass with Brad Davidson. Brad, how are you today, mate?
Yeah, good morning, guys.
Now, we're looking at trainers today. What do you look for when determining how good a trainer is?
Yeah, Jared, I mean, there's many aspects to that. But look, I'll focus on 3 points there. First is a trainer's strike rate over a longer period. So, you know, how many winners to runners they've had over a long period. I think that's always a good sort of guide as to how good a trainer is. And normally if you're around that 17, 18 or 15% plus, you're generally going pretty well. Another point is a trainer's ability to improve a horse they receive from another stable. So if they're constantly getting horses from other stables and they're improving in their care, then that generally is also a good sign that they're doing a lot of things right. And finally, the placement of horses as well. How they place their horses, I think, is really important. You know, you can have the best stock going around, but if you're putting them in the wrong races and not getting the results, then, you know, that's worth nothing. So I think they're the three main ones for me: strike rate, their ability to improve a horse, and the placement of horses as well.
Dave, last week we spoke about, you know, jockeys when they go on a bit of a run, you'd like to, you know, support them. So how much weight do you put on, you know, when they say, oh, the trainer's having a great run or these horses are winning at a good strike rate? How much importance do you place on that?
Yeah, Loz, I think it's, look, to put it simply, not as much as jockeys. And this is, I mean, the main reason for that is, you know, while the fact that, you know, if you're going well, it's natural to jump out of bed as a trainer with that extra spring in your step. I mean, just think, you know, for example, Clarky, you're coming off a series where you've hit, you know, four centuries or whatever for Australia. Naturally, you're going to go to training, you're going to feel a bit better about things. And you know, you're just going to have that real positive attitude. It's human nature. So there is that part of it. And you know, particularly with trainers, they'll be doing that as well and just feeling good and everything's going great. But I guess the point to counteract that is, apart from the few big stables that have a lot of horses, you know, 90 to 95% of trainers only have, you know, a selected pool of horses they've got. So if many of them are coming off recent wins and the stable's going through a really good run, well, the query then is that all of those horses that are coming off wins are naturally going to have to step up a grade at their next start, or they go up in weight. They're going to face a harder task than they did last start. So that's got to be kept in mind with stables that are just that little bit smaller in size, because, you know, it's easy to jump on them, but sometimes you've actually missed the boat there, you know, because they've all come out and won already, and then it's going to be harder for the next start. I guess for me, where it's more important, guys, is where the stable's going through a bit of a rough trot, because that can sometimes signal that, you know, there might have been a bit of a virus that's gone through the stable, or, you know, a trainer might have lost a key staff member, or things just might not be going quite right at that moment.
In fact, a text from a listener here, Tom from Tamworth. Davo, which trainer stable is the best for a plunge?
Oh, gee, that's a good one. Look, there's plenty that are very good at plunges. I always say Chris Waller, first starters, if they're really back late, the last 5 minutes, it's always a really good sign. But, you know, I mean, there's plenty around that if they back them late. Just let me think on that one. I'll get back to it at the end of it.
All right, we spoke about also the different styles. Now, there's patterns with some certain stables as to where most of their horses, say, settle in the run.
Yeah, there is, Jared. You know, you think of Gay Waterhouse and the Adrian Bot Yard. They train most of their horses to lead or to be on speed, as does Gerald Ryan. They're generally out there on speed, where other trainers like Jason Coyle, on the other hand, like, you know, he likes his horses to relax, get back in races and finish off. So there's definitely different patterns and the way they train. And there's also different styles of how trainers prepare their horses too. Like, for example, some stables like to get their horses really fit. You can back them with confidence first up from a spell. And stables like that include Jill Ryan, Gay Waterhouse and Adrian Bott, Team Hawks. Generally, you know, if you're backing horses first up from those stables, you can back them with confidence. Counteract that, there's a few stables that first up from a spell, you just want to be a little bit query or a little bit mindful there, or a bit wary, because they generally just let their horses race into fitness. And their stables like Les Bridge, Ron Quinton, John Thompson, not so much these days, but maybe a little while past. But they're the sort of stables that if their horses are winning first up, you give them a double tick, because generally they've got a lot of improvement to come as well.
All right. Who do you rate as the top stables in Sydney? And if you're owning a sprinter, do you send a sprinter to a certain trainer? If you've got a distance horse, do you send the distance horse to a certain trainer? What's your thought pattern?
Yeah, look, first of all, rating the top stables in Sydney, I mean, it's hard to go past the likes of, you know, Chris Waller, I mean, his record speaks for itself, doesn't it? I really like Team Snowden, the way they place their horses, and they're very consistent. They really go through sort of bad patches, and you know, they always seem to be knocking out winners. Gaywater House has been outstanding for a number of years, and obviously with Adrian Bott now, and you know, the likes of James Cummings and a few others there that I haven't mentioned, Team Hawks. And, you know, there's a heap there that are right in that topper echelon in Sydney, and quite a few that I haven't mentioned. In terms of certain horses, I think Chris Waller's the best when it comes to if you've got a really bit of an erratic horse or one that over races or gets his head up and has a few problems. Chris Waller's just a genius at getting them to relax and just, you know, just to calm down in the run. I think Team Snowden are really good. Those younger horses, getting them to sort of peak on grand final day in those two-year-old races and whatnot. And if you've got a leader or a horse up on speed, then you know, Gay Waterhouse and Adrian Bott obviously do a tremendous job with them. So there's a few of the different styles there. Oh, yeah.
A text from Gary at Woodalba. Excluding Chris Lees, who do you think is the next best country trainer?
There you go. Well, that leads into what I was going to sort of talk about. There's a couple to keep an eye on. For me, a guy called Nathan Doyle, you know, I've spoken about him a few times on Form Line Extras and whatnot when doing the form. But, yeah, look, I really think he's a star on the rise to some degree there. He's only been back training for probably a year and a half, but he's been striking at more than 20% this season from about 120-odd runners. And he's got a really good crop of younger horses. We saw Straw win at Newcastle on the weekend. We saw Royal Banquet win on Monday. And one of those factors, what he's doing a lot, is, as I touched on earlier in this chat, is he's being able to improve horses from other stables. You know, that's been the big key. I mean, Straw was struggling with several trainers prior to coming to his care, and now he's been able to get Straw and put a few wins together despite her, you know, her racing pattern. So he's definitely one to keep an eye on. If I'm talking the city, I think John O'Shea is definitely one to keep an eye on as well. He took a little while after Godolphin to sort of find his feet, but look, he's striking at more than 19% from more than 300 runners this season, and I just feel like he's really found his groove now, and you know, he's definitely one to keep following going forward as well.
Text from Biz at Newey. Hey, Davo, I was looking at some new trainers, ASICs or Nike, mainly used for getting to and from the pub.
To and from the pub. Well, I've got a pair of ASICs that I run around the block with. That's all I can tell you. But getting back to the earlier question, yeah, I mean, you know, there's many stables that are confident, you know, when they back one from Deion Baker or even the Snowden Blade, I'm always, you know, I'm always taking that into mind. Yeah, I mean, most stables where they... where they're sort of coming for them late in the piece. There's a, you know, might be a bit of stable confidence, but and Team Hawks is another one. You know, we saw with Mount Popper there on the weekend, heavily back of one, and we often see it with their first starters and things like that. They, when they back them, they're very, very hard to beat.
You got any at Canterbury today?
I didn't put anything out. Just query with the whether the track's going to play fence and run there today or not, and how wet it'll be. But keep an eye on a horse called Best Stone in race 5 there. I think it's the best horse in the race. It's just how the pattern unfolds during the day as to whether she's going to get on that right part of the track. But I'm confident she's the best horse in the race and runs well there fresh today.
Best Stone, was it? Race 5? Yeah. I can't see it here in race 5. Definitely race 5?
It might not be. Hang on, just let me bear with me one sec.
Best...
Oh, no, there you go. It's just coming out the last 5, 10 minutes.
Right, yeah. It's
there you go.
They're
probably going to wait for another day.
All good, Davo. Thanks, mate. Great to chat.
Thanks, guys.